I'd like to call your attention in the beginning this evening to an expression found in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Go back to verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when they had found him, they brought him to Antioch. I'm sure that these young brethren were delighted to find this aged apostle, the apostle Paul. And they bring him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Can you imagine? Spending a whole year under the teaching of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. What an incredible blessing that must have been, a whole year of Bible teaching. He taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's the first time the word Christians is used in the Bible. Now, we're very familiar with that term today in our culture. We hear it a lot. People say, I'm a Christian, the Christian religion, the Christian doctrine. We're very familiar with that word Christian. But it had not been used until here in Acts chapter 11, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, there's some possibility that it was the enemies of the disciples of Christ that called them this. They would not, it probably was not a flattering term in that day. But who is a Christian? What is a Christian? Well, according to this verse, the disciples of Jesus Christ are Christians. In order to be a Christian, you have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to be a disciple? Well, that means you are under the discipline of Jesus Christ. Your life is being disciplined by what Jesus taught. You can be a disciple of Muhammad, you could be a disciple of Buddha, but these were disciples of Jesus Christ. They were under his discipline. They were living their lives according to what Jesus had taught them in his ministry. And so they are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And now somebody comes along and calls them Christians. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, being a Christian does not make you a child of God. There are many children of God who are not Christians, sadly. Being a Christian does not make you a child of God. Many doctrines under the Christian umbrella would teach that if you want to be saved, if you want to be in God's family, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you need to be a Christian. And a lot of people make Christianity, being a Christian, very simple. All you have to do is accept Jesus and believe in him. Well, I want to tell you, it's wonderful to believe in Jesus. I believe in him. What about anybody here tonight believe in Jesus? That's wonderful. That is a great blessing. to be able to believe in Jesus Christ. But believing in him does not make you a disciple. Many people would believe in him who are not willing to be disciplined by his teachings. They want to live their life their way, and yet they believe in Jesus. Now, a lot of Christian religions will teach that if you want to go to heaven, when you die, you got to have more good works than you have bad works. You're going to have to live a good life. You're going to have to keep the law. You're going to have to earn your way to heaven. Well, we know that's not true. Eternal life is a gift. I tried to teach that today. Paul said in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve, death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. And if you do anything for a gift, it's not a gift. It's earned. Eternal life is a gift. So being a disciple of Jesus, being a Christian, does not earn you a home in heaven. But I want to say this evening that if you are a child of God and you have been saved by his amazing grace, that ought to inspire us to be Christians. Would you all agree with that? There are people who say, if you teach salvation by grace, Brother Sam, and not by works, that's going to encourage people to go out and live in sin. It's going to encourage people to follow their fleshly desires. Well, I want to tell you, I don't believe that. I believe the doctrine of salvation by grace encourages us to follow Jesus. It does. We want to be his disciples. We want to honor him. And so the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, you may say, Brother Sam, is it okay for me to describe myself as a Christian? Well, I've never done that. Now, if being a Christian simply means that you believe in Jesus, yes, I'm a Christian. But if following Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus is what is required to be a Christian, I'd rather other people make that judgment. Would y'all agree with that? One time, two men came up and knocked on the door of this fella, and they were witnessing the neighborhood, and they asked him, they said, are you a Christian? He said, you're asking the wrong person. He called his wife. He said, y'all need to ask her. And y'all need to go next door and ask my neighbors. Are y'all with me? See, beloved, if you're a Christian, it ought to show to your neighbors and your friends. I've had kids draw me pictures. Every church I've ever pastored, there's little kids that'll draw pictures and bring it to me and give it to me after church. And they'll write down at the bottom, it's a horse, it's a cow, and let me tell you, that's a big help. Because a lot of them are not good artists. And I wouldn't know what it was if they didn't tell me. Now, I have drawings of people, and they don't have to put down underneath, it's a horse or a cow, because the drawing is so good. Well, let me tell you, beloved, if you're living a Christian life, you don't have to go around telling people, I'm a Christian. It will be manifest. Would y'all agree? Now, they were called Christians first in Antioch because they were disciples of Jesus. And I don't know if those that called him Christians first in Antioch meant it as a compliment, but I would take it as a compliment today. If my neighbors in Cochrane said, you know, Brother Sam Bryant, he's a Christian, I would take that as a compliment. I wouldn't feel comfortable going around telling everybody I'm a Christian. Now, I do tell people I believe in Jesus Christ. I love him. He's my Savior. He's my all in all. But I'll let others determine whether or not I am a Christian. The Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. And I hope that all of us will be bearing good fruit that will let people know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. Now I want to turn over this evening to Acts chapter 26, and I want to look at an interesting conversation here between King Agrippa and Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 26. The Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Chapter 26 and verse 1 says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things wherefore I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." So the Apostle Paul has been arrested. He is in chains. He's being brought before the king, and he's going to be examined. And Agrippa gives him an opportunity to defend himself. And so Paul does a magnificent job, as you might expect, when he gives his defense. He tells about what he was before the Damascus Road, what a wild man he was, and then how Jesus appears to him on the Damascus Road and changes his life altogether. And now in verse 19, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." I love that, don't y'all? Paul says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." God had given him a vision of Jesus Christ and called him to be a disciple of Jesus. You know, when Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road and he fell down on the ground, Jesus says, "Saul, Saul." Y'all remember that? Why did he call him twice? "Saul, Saul." You'd think one time would be enough. "Saul, Saul." And I remember Elder Daugherty teaching one time that the first Saul was when God called Saul from death and sin to life in Jesus Christ. And the second Saul was when he called him to be a disciple. How many of y'all have gotten a call? I believe I got a call many, many years ago. God called me from death and sin to life in Jesus Christ. And then he called me to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How many of us have been obedient to that heavenly call? And how many people are still debating in their minds, "Do I really want to follow Jesus?" And let me say, if you really want to follow Jesus, you need to be baptized. I remember when my Savior left Nazareth and walked 70 to 80 miles to the River Jordan where John was baptizing. And Jesus submitted himself to water baptism. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to be baptized. Would y'all agree? To be a disciple of Jesus. Well, Saul was baptized and became an obedient disciple of Jesus Christ. So he's giving his testimony now to King Agrippa. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. In other words, he's right in line with what the prophets and Moses had taught in the Old Testament concerning the Messiah, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, listen to this now, as Paul is giving this glorious testimony about God's dealings in his life, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Festus is saying, Saul has lost his mind. He's so passionate about Jesus, he's given up everything. His Phariseeism, he's given up everything to preach Jesus all over the Roman Empire, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And Festus is sitting there beside King Agrippa, hearing all this, and he concludes that Saul has lost his mind. And I want to tell you tonight, beloved, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's people in Georgia that would think you're not in your right mind. That's right. They're out there, and they would think that you have been brainwashed, that you're not in your right mind. And so Festus said with a loud voice, he's passionate about it, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth." Now listen to this. "For the king, Agrippa, knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner," talking about the crucifixion and resurrection. And now notice, Paul turns his attention directly to King Agrippa and says in verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" In other words, "Agrippa, do you believe what the prophets said about Jesus and the Messiah?" That's a direct question. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" And before Agrippa had an opportunity to answer, Paul answered for him. Have y'all noticed that? He said, "I know that thou believest." Paul had seen something in King Agrippa's countenance to let him know that Agrippa was a believer as well, that he believed the prophets had, what the prophets had prophesied of, and Jesus was the fulfillment. I love that. "I know that thou believest." Now let's notice Agrippa's response. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul," "almost thou persuadest me to be a what? To be a Christian." Wow. I believe Agrippa is saying Paul is a Christian. I can look in his life and see that Paul is a disciple of Jesus Christ. He is passionate about his Savior. He's willing to suffer for Jesus. He's even in chains. He's a prisoner. I can see that he is a Christian. And then Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Are y'all getting this? I want you to see the picture tonight. Here is the aged Apostle Paul in chains, having been arrested and brought before the king, and they're hoping, I'm sure his accusers are hoping, that he'll be sentenced to prison or to death. But Paul is not wavering. He's standing there bravely, courageously, in simplicity, preaching the gospel of the crucified and risen Savior. How many of us would do that? You know, I said recently, I don't know how much I love Jesus. I don't know how much this church loves him. Would we love him enough to be in chains for him? And I can tell you, if this country continues on the course it is on tonight, we'll probably find out just how much we really love Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, Paul loved him. We sung a song tonight, I want to love him more. Well, I want to tell you, I'd like to love him like Paul loved him. How many of y'all want to love Jesus like that? Or do y'all just want to throw him a little token now and then? Wave at him. Wink at him. Or do you really want to follow him? And you want to let your light shine. Well, I want to tell you, Paul was letting his light shine. He didn't put his light under a bushel or a bed. No, sir. He's putting it on a lampstand where everybody in the king's house can see that he loves Jesus. And his passion for Jesus is so great that Agrippa, the king, says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, I believe roles reverse right there. Paul is in chains, literally, physically. And Agrippa's on his throne. But I'm telling you, as the gospel is being preached, I believe Agrippa is now in chains and Paul is reigning by grace divine. And he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now I've heard preachers say, well, Paul was trying to get him into heaven. Paul was afraid he was going to die and go to hell, and Paul was hoping he could get Agrippa saved and into heaven. I don't believe that. I believe Agrippa was already saved by grace and born of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because Paul said in Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are spiritually discerned. Neither can he know them. Now, Agrippa is listening and receiving the gospel of the crucified and risen Savior. Yes, sir, I believe with all my heart Agrippa was born again, and he had a receiving set. You know, you can't hear the gospel and receive it and enjoy it if God hasn't given you a spiritual life and a receiving set. You've heard this illustration, I imagine, but in this building right now, in the air, between my two hands, there's music, beautiful music, all kinds of music. Some of it not beautiful. There's rock music. There's rap music, but there's orchestra music. There's hymns right here between my hands. How many of y'all believe that? Matter of fact, there's pictures right between my two hands. You say, Brother Sam, you've lost your mind. No, you bring a radio in here and turn it on and tune it, and I'll tell you, there's music in the air. There's pictures. Bring a TV in here. I can show you there's pictures all in the air. But you got to have a receiving set to hear it or to see it. Is that not right? Well, a man that's dead in sin doesn't have a receiving set. He'll hear the gospel and he'll think that's just a bunch of foolishness. Why would people waste their time to go over there and hear that? But if you've got a receiving set, if you've been born again and you hear about Jesus and it warms you and touches your heart, that's an evidence. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe Agrippa was one of God's children. So he was not persuaded to be a child of God. He was already a child of God, but he was almost persuaded to be a disciple. And he uses that term, Christian. You hear it? Listen again. He said, then Agrippa said unto him, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And I want to tell you, beloved, in my own experience, when I was 14 years old, I was made to love Jesus, and I was made to realize I was a sinner, but I was disobedient for a year. I put off joining the church and being baptized for a year, but I was finally persuaded. Under the power of the gospel, I was persuaded. Brother Ronnie and I were baptized together. He was persuaded. How many of y'all tonight have been persuaded? I want to tell you, Jesus is very persuasive. Would y'all agree? You can't just look at him and not be touched. But Agrippa never was persuaded to come down off that throne and be baptized. No evidence that he ever was. But notice what Paul said. Paul didn't object to him calling him a Christian. He didn't object to that. But notice what Paul said. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, both were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Paul is saying, Agrippa, I would to God that you were like me as a Christian, except for these chains. I don't want you to be a prisoner like I am, but I want you to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close tonight by going with you over to 1 Peter to another time. You know that word Christian is only used three times in the Bible. And we're going to look here at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Well, let's back up and look at verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Let me tell you, if you go out here and kill somebody, and it's murder, and you're caught, you're going to suffer, and you ought to suffer. You're going to be deprived of being with your family. You're going to be locked in a cell. You're going to suffer as a murderer, as a thief. If you go around stealing what other people have, and you're caught, you're going to suffer as a thief. Or as an evildoer. Paul is saying, none of us, I don't want any of us to suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. I like that. What, did y'all know that Paul says that he's saying that being a busybody in other men's matters is in the same category as being a murderer and a thief and an evildoer? How many of y'all like to get involved in everybody else's business? I don't. I like what Annie Merle had on her sign years ago in that little restaurant in Allentown. Most of life's trouble is caused from a lack of knowledge. Business knowledge, knowing what is your business and what is not your business. Come on now, y'all gonna agree with that? I tell you, I've known preachers that stay on the telephone a lot trying to straighten other churches out and other preachers out all over the country. That's being a busybody. Now, if a church calls a pastor and asks for his help or advice or counsel, that's one thing. But to just meddle, that's being a busybody. And you'll suffer. I've known preachers to suffer having done such as that. And you'll suffer in your life. You just need to take care of your business, your family. Cool Springs needs to take care of our business. And I'm going to say amen to that. And y'all agreeing with me. Now, but listen to what he says. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And as you read Peter's letter, you're going to read a lot about suffering. And it was suffering for Jesus' sake. And I want to tell you, Peter himself was imprisoned and finally crucified for following Jesus Christ. But he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. but let him glorify God on this behalf. I've been reading about a coach who was up in Washington State. His name is Joe Kennedy. And after every football game, he would go out by himself midway of the football field, and he would bow and pray. He didn't invite anybody else, but a lot of the students started joining him, and they would bow and have prayer after the game. And people complained, and finally the officials told him, "You gotta stop this. This is against our policy." And he wouldn't do it. And they fired him. And did you know his case went to the Supreme Court of the United States of America? And a few months ago, the Supreme Court judged in his favor. I love that. What about y'all? How many of us would be willing to go through such as that? 7 years it took the Supreme Court to come to that decision. Now, we're going to probably see a lot more of that in this country. The day will come when you say anything against homosexual marriage or abortion, it's going to be considered hate speech. How many of us are going to be silent and just close the Word of God on that? Or are we going to be willing to stand? Listen, Peter was willing to stand. 11 of the 12 apostles suffered martyrdom for Jesus' sake. Paul was beheaded in Rome. Peter crucified upside down. James was killed. One of the apostles was skinned alive. Another one was drugged through the city by wild horses until he died. We're talking about cruelty beyond your ability to comprehend. But I believe God's grace was sufficient. What about y'all? I believe God's grace is going to be sufficient for us if we have to face such things. I hope not. I tell you, I've been spoiled by all this Christian freedom and religious freedom. What about y'all? How many of y'all scared to come over here at Cool Springs afraid they're going to come in here and arrest you? No, we got freedom right now. How long it will last probably depends on Christian people. And how close we are to God and how much influence we have. May God help all of us. I would encourage all of us tonight to be persuaded to follow Jesus Christ. To be a true, genuine disciple. Not in word only. Not fair weather Christians, but all weather Christians. Thank you all for your good attention.